Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It's one man's mission to run at least 52 10Ks and our very own Amber at the cross country. That means it must be Radio Newark Sport. I'm Mick Bradley, and live from Sport HQ, these are some of the top stories making the national news today. And Match of the Day will show Premier League highlights until at least the 21-22 season, after renewing its contract for a further 3 years. £211.5 million of your money has gone on to the fact that we can see football on a Saturday night. Match of the Day, of course, was first broadcast in 1964. Problem is, I can remember it. Worcester winger Josh Adams will make his Welsh debut against Scotland in the 2018 Six Nations, which starts in Cardiff on Saturday. Fly-half Reece Patchell is one of 10 Scarlets in the starting 15, six of them in the backs, with 22-year-old Adams the one exception. And former referee Paul Alcock has died at the age of 64. The Premier League has announced today Alcock was famously pushed over by ex-Sheffield Wednesday striker Paolo Di Canio after he sent off the Italian in a league match in 1998. He took charge of 94 Premier League matches between 95 and 2000. Referees chief Mike Riley said, "We all knew that Paul had been ill for a long time, and it's extremely sad to see his passing." It's a shame, isn't it, when he was famous for that one push, but he was a decent referee. And I don't see that very often. It is nice to see Match of the Day. I know it's a lot of pennies, and I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it gives a chance for people that's not got Sky or BT, chance to keep up with football, and that's what it's all about. Some of these sports have got to stop on terrestrial television, and that's what that one's doing, so we're very pleased about that. Next week, the Winter Olympics starts, and we're going to keep it a bit of an eye on them. Who's bothered about the Winter Olympics? Are you? Or anybody? But we're out there. British duo James Wood and Izzy Atkin have warmed up for South Korea in perfect style by winning the X Game medals at the prestigious Aspen event. Let's see if they can do it next week when it really matters, and get an Olympic gold. Anyway, on tonight's show, as we said, a man with a 2018 mission, and he's going to run these 52 10Ks, or more than 10K. Rob Wilkinson is joining us. He's come along with Keith Girling from the Newark Patriotic Fund, because that's what we're doing it for, and they're going to explain the whys, the wheres, the whens, and the whos. And of course, it is Tuesday, and it was another day in the mud at the weekend for Amber and friends at the Midland Cross Country Championships. Amber joins us, as ever, at 20 past 7. But let's have a look at the local headlines first. And it's those cross-country champions where we begin, for Olivia Mathias came home first, and our very own Amber Owens coming home fifth, and they're going to tell us all about that when she joins us. And the Pocket Rocket Amelia Crispin also had a good day. She got a silver in the under-13 race, as Newark Athletic Club once again was at the forefront of cross-country running. Nina Bradley's big fight scheduled for the 2nd of March has been postponed, with opponent Lauren Johnson pulling out injured. It is hoped, though, the fight will take place later on in the year. And we told you last week that Maddie Cross was due to take charge of her first adult rugby match. Well, after three different venues because of the weather, she finally found a game, passed with flying colours, and is now officially an NLD panel referee. Well done, Maddie.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And that's not where the congratulations stop, because huge congratulations to Chucherida Athletics team, who won silver medals at the primary school district finals today. First place went to South Wales Lowes 1. 8 schools had qualified for the finals day. 7 of them took part. So an absolute fantastic effort there from our primary schools. And, of course, we'd like to be the first to tell you how they all got on Radio New York Sport. Special guest night tonight. He's a young man we've been trying to get on this show for a long time. He seems to prefer drive and talking on the phone, but we've got him in here tonight. Rob Wilkinson joins us. Rob, good evening. Welcome to Radio New York Sport.
Good evening. It's great to be here. Thank you.
A New York Strider, no less.
Well, you know, among many of my vices, yes, striding is one of those.
So we'll talk about striders a little bit later on, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Keith Gurley. Keith, good evening. Well, again, welcome to Radio New York Sport.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
And, of course, Keith is one of the big noises, shall we say, in the Newark Patriotic Fund, and he's the man that is keeping it on everybody's lips, and quite rightly so, because it's a fantastic organisation. And Keith's going to talk a little bit about that later on in the show, and why is with Rob. But Rob, you are an ex-serviceman. What I want to talk about first is your service career, and then I want to go on. We're going to get a bit serious. We don't do serious very often in here, but I want to get a little bit serious, because I know firsthand, through my own family, how difficult it is when a serviceman joins mainstream life.
Absolutely.
And this is where Keith is also going to come in, because we don't see the trials and tribulations that a lot of people have. But let's go back to the beginning, and you was in the RAF.
Well, let's go even further back from that. I was an air cadet across at 2425 Nottingham Airport Squadron in Tollerton in Nottingham. So, you know, big shout out to the air cadets over there. That organisation, like many of the others, such as the Army Cadets, the Navy Cadets, you know, the CCF is actually one of the most fundamental things in helping bring young people into understanding of key responsibility. Then I went on after air cadets. I went to university in Lincoln in 96. And that's quite a scary thought. And one of the first years to go into Lincoln. But at that same time, there was no air cadets, no TA there. So I joined the RAF Regiment Reserve. So 2503 Squadron, City of Lincoln Squadron, RAF Waddington. And I was a reservist there for my 4 years while I also studied. And so I studied my BA at Lincoln. And it gives you such fantastic opportunities. The third year when I was studying in Lincoln, the reservists arranged for me to go and liaise with a unit in the States, because I went out to study peace and conflict studies at Juniata College in the US. And I went out and I was basically an RAF reserve liaison to the reserve unit out there.
Bit of a jolly then.
Oh, well, I wouldn't dare say that. It's Her Majesty's money, after all.
Bit of a jolly.
But it was a great rounding experience. That all led me to, after I finished my Masters, I decided, you know what better than actually join the Royal Air Force?
And you was in the Air Force for 11 years.
Yes, I started in 2002, and then we had the Strategic Defence Security Review in 2012, where there were lots of cuts made, and they decided, and it was an interesting one, because I remember the day, the 11th of June, when I was told I was made compulsory redundant, because I had a six-week-old child at the same time. So it was quite an emotional time, to be brutally honest, but we knew it was on the cards, and we decided, actually, you know, we want to settle down. We'd had an 11-year career. We'd moved 7 times in 11 years. And there comes a point we go, it's time to put down some roots. And, I was made compulsory redundant. You got a year package and remediation before I left. After that, I left and they rang me up and said, would you like to become an RAF reservist? I was like, let me think about that. I'll be made compulsory redundant and then join the reserves. Yes, I'll do that. And subsequently, I'm now a squadron leader in the RAF reserves. Specifically responsible for online learning for the reserves, and I work from home a lot.
You see, if you join the forces, the last thing you expect is to be made compulsory redundant. I mean, that is just not there to happen, is it?
No.
You can come out, you know, when you want to come out, you come out, you give them the notice and you come out, but you do not expect
expect that. So that with a 6 week old baby, and I do want to dwell on this. I'll come back to what you did when you was in there, because I do want to dwell on this, because it is so important. Being in the forces and living in forces accommodation, I assume, people in real life do not realise how almost mollycoddled that is,
in the politest way, it is.
And it is.
It's an insular life.
Yes.
You have a very insular life where you are moved. You don't have to plan the move. You are moved from point A to point B. And being on the outside of it now, and I have a lot of friends that are in forces, they would go, it's not that easy. Well, there is a psychological change. It's a different sort of difficulty.
I mean, when the daughter's husband, as he was then, was in the army, you go out, and if you go shopping, and if somebody wants some sugar, they'll just nip in the back door and get the sugar and whatever else, and you would stop out at night time, you'd order a barbecue, but 11:38 at night, all the lights would go off and you'd all go to bed. It was just so, everything was so regimented. Now, when Richard came out, he couldn't cope.
Yes.
It was so difficult, because when you ring up a plumber there, he's round in...
Yes, he's round in half an hour.
Half an hour. When you ring up a plumber here, he's round in 3 weeks on Wednesday.
Yes.
But that's the way the world works. Did you struggle?
Yes, I did. It's interesting, the Careers Transition Partnership, which helps people on the way out now, has got a lot better than it used to be. I did struggle, but not as much as many, because throughout my career, I had a challenging boss in one instance, so we say, and it put me in the position where I thought I was going to be made compulsory redundant. So I actually psychologically started preparing a year before they made the compulsory redundancy. So I started acclimating. I moved house into the civilian world. But it was a complete shock, because when you're on a base, you don't lock your front door. Whereas if you don't do that here, you're taking a very big chance. And it took us a long time to realise, actually, it is a different way of life. And it's not so social. And it is a problem in modern society where you maybe know one neighbour next door each way. But we used to know most people on the patch because it was a common thing.
Yeah.
And there is a cultural thing where if you go onto a service married patch, everybody has a job. Whereas you go to quite a lot of places, they don't. Some people do, some people don't, for whatever reasons. But it's a very strange, different community.
Now, people listening to this show, which is actually called Radio New York Sport, are beginning to wonder what the heck this is, anything has got to do with sport. But the outlet of sport is very important. Now, we've had Nathan Cumberland in this studio, and Nathan's, for different reasons to you, has been through some very dark days.
Yes.
And it was sport that brought Nathan out of those dark days. Now, I just want to bring Keith in here. Keith, the Patriotic Fund, and it's not just injuries we can see with ex-servicemen, is it? It's the injuries we can't see. I'm probably sounding like Prince Harry now, but it's the injuries that we can't see that are more difficult to help people.
Well, it's actually called the hidden wounds, and the trouble is with hidden wounds is when the public see a veteran that's got legs missing, or arms missing, or some limb missing, they're really happy to help and support and contribute towards. When it's just sort of a guy there, that actually can sometimes be very, very difficult and awkward and actually cause trouble, it's a bit more, the public aren't quite as forgiving, and it's very difficult. But in reality, they're the ones that need a lot of support. But I just want to make one point about this, and about the difficulty of the transition from leaving the forces, being the forces to leaving, because I spent 18 years in the army, and I actually came out in redundancy in 1995, so it's always gone on, it's got a bit more common now. It's something like 5% of veterans suffer or struggle leaving the forces. So the vast majority of them come out and they're perfectly fine, they integrate into society and just get on with life. Yeah, so it's not... you know, all people that served haven't got a problem. You know, and I think that's a really important message, though, because, you know, veterans want jobs.
Yes.
And if everybody thinks they're all psychopaths, like Phil Mitchell from EastEnders or something like that, it's not helpful. So I think just a really important point to make.
That, but some people do, either through injury or psychological.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's why we're
struggle
there.
And why I talk about it on this show is because increasingly, and again, Prince Harry, great, are turning to sport as an outlet for them to bring them, I suppose reintegrate them is probably a harsh way of putting it, but...
It's a common thing because in the services, you engage in sport, you engage in a structured process and you're part of a structured life. And for me, it was very much, I like to run because... It is controlled, it's a process, it's something that is almost a step back to where I was. So, you know, if you need to decompress, you can just step out into the sport environment, which is common both services and in the civilian sector. So it's almost a dip back into where you were to just help you through the process.
Yeah, we have a lot of our veterans, the people we help, they use the gym. For that very reason, you know, they go to the gym and they sort of put themselves under a lot of physical pressures because it takes them back and helps them, as you say, decompress. You know, we have a drop-in every Monday morning at the Bowls Club behind Iceland from 10 to 12, and they go there. We've got the lads there as young as sort of 26, 27, and we've got some guy in his 90s. But you would think there was all the same age and they'd think they'd all serve the same amount of time, and the banter and the camaraderie is absolutely fantastic, and you just see the smiles come on the faces because it's a familiarity for them.
And this is where we want to get, is bringing sport back into the limelight, because it is so important. And you've set your own business up, and you're a great friend. I mean, we're a bit of free advertising. Why not? You're a great friend of this radio station. Because it's the Turquoise Teapot. And, of course, not only are you a great friend of this radio station, you're a great friend of Newark Hockey Club as well. Because they think the world of you.
And also the wheelchair basketball.
The Jaguars.
And your rugby as
well. So, you know, so that's absolutely brilliant. You're getting into sport.
Well, it goes back about 3 years ago because I left in 2013, and my wife and I said, right, we're going to settle here. I set up my own business, and I said, right, I've fallen on my feet. I've been very lucky because I've been consulting with the Royal Navy. It creates money. So what do I want to do? Well, I can either pay off my house or let's invest in the community. And so we looked around and we found the area to put the Turquoise Teapot. And wife said to me, said, well, the littlest one's just about to go to school. Do you want another baby? I went, no, we've got four. You can have a coffee shop instead. and lo and behold, she went,
fair enough.
Then. I'll have that. So now I've got 17 staff, which are just as bad as kids.
Yeah, that's typical military humour, though.
Yes,
and
it is.
That's one thing that puts a smile on military people's faces, the humour that comes out with, you know, it's absolutely fantastic.
It ties it back to the community, and then we thought, right, you know, we're opposite the leisure centres, let's put something in the community. You know, we've invested for the 5 years, you know, it's all about bringing the community, bringing the sports in, and that's how it all comes full circle, right back to.
Brilliant. And now you've decided to give something back to the Patriotic Fund. Give yourself your next aim in life, if you like. And well, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes' time, because it involves an awful lot of running. And that's where we're going next, because it is Tuesday. It's very close to Amber time. Okay, a bit more from Rob and from Keith later. But now, 7:20 on a Tuesday, it's Amber time. Good evening, Amber.
Good evening.
Normal first question, training or watching EastEnders?
Training,
good girl.
Coronation Street.
It's Coronation Street. Well, it's all the same to me. Let's go back to a very muddy Saturday, and I'm going to leave it to you to talk me through the day.
Okay, so on Saturday, it was the Midlands Cross Country Champs at Wollaston Hall, and it was very rainy and very muddy. So, anyway, there was a really good first for Olivia Matthews in the under 20s. She did really well. And then I came fifth in that race also. And then under 15 saw Alice Gibbs at 93rd. And she had a really strong finish when she came in. There was second for Amelia Crispin in the under 13. And obviously she's been doing really, really well at the minute. For the under 17, there was a strong run by Eleanor Miller, who was 36th, and Tilly Owens was 56th in a large field. For the senior ladies, Becky Gallup came 29th and Chloe Hubbard came 32nd. For the men, there wasn't as many as normal, but Tom Hubbard came 30th in the under 20 men's race. And the senior vet men saw Tim Bagley as 108th, Carl Braithwaite as 253rd, and then my dad also had a really good run, even though by then the mud was obviously like really, really thick because they were one of the last races. and he came 292nd. So yeah, they all had really good runs. And then...
Okay, let me stop you there, because okay. Let's go back to your race. Olivia, of course, is a Great Britain international, and she's going with Wales to the Commonwealth Games, so I would have expected her to win, which yeah. means you, in theory, got fourth place. That's a fantastic achievement, Amber. Well done.
Thank you.
Are you pleased with it? Because you're your biggest critic.
Yeah, I am quite pleased with it. I mean, I knew there was a couple of people. Well, I know there was one person in particular that I know I should have beaten, but I didn't. But it was a good run.
When I saw you finish there, that's an absolutely cracking achievement. That's two new KC athletes in the top five of the under 20 ladies in the Midlands. Now that ain't bad going.
No, it's not. And I mean, saying as well, it was kind of annoying, because if we'd have got one more person, I don't know, maybe Ellie White or somebody to run for Newark, we'd have won for the team. Because there was team medals as well, and obviously. Me and Olivia were probably out of the five of them. The other three would have been different clubs. So me and Olivia would have got first and fifth. So in the top five, that's already two Newark runners.
Yeah.
So if we'd have got one more, and maybe they'd have come, I don't know, seventh or eighth, we'd have won for the team and we'd have all got medals.
That would have been fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Special word for me, little pocket rocket. Second in the under 13. She continues to prosper.
Yeah.
Fantastic for Amelia there. What one name you've missed out, because she wasn't there, and I think that's probably the first time ever those twins have been parted. Tilly was running, but Lauren went to Manchester and got a personal best.
Yeah, she went into the pole vault, and I don't think it was a personal best. I think it was a season's best.
Season's best, okay.
Yeah, but she did. But yeah, she said it was really good. I mean, you get like free T-shirts, you get group photos and stuff. She said it was a really good experience. So yeah, I think she was happy she went there.
And of course, pole vault is a chosen discipline, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that would be that was good for her. And she's on form with that, as summer hopefully is not so far away. While that was happening indoors at Manchester, Newark Athletic Club was also represented indoors at Sheffield.
Yeah. I know, they had really good runs as well.
So tell us a bit about that.
Okay, so Luke had like a flying start. I mean, I know he got bronze medals in a long jump, shot put, and I don't think he was too happy with his 400 and 200, but I know he had like really good throws and jumps. Ava, she had a really, really good time, because she had a really good run in the 60-metre sprint. She was third place in a heat, and she had a new PB of 9 seconds. And, yeah, I think they both did really well. I mean, I wasn't really there, so I'm not sure, how...
I think after Luke's long jump and shot put, he picked up an injury of some description, and that's what slowed him down in the running events. But still, a good day. Another good day all round for Newark Athletic Club.
Yeah, and I mean, saying, you know, we have people in the indoor. You know, we cover a lot of different aspects when you think about it, because they're all doing all the sprinting and the throwing, and we're all doing the cross country, so it's good.
They're all in the warm and everything, and there's you knee deep in mud.
Yeah, and rain.
And rain. Oh dear. What have you got this weekend?
This weekend, the Lincolnshire people have Anglian schools,
yeah.
Which is like the next round from the last one we did, which was at Burnley.
And of course, you're going into that as a Lincolnshire champion, aren't you, young lady?
Yeah.
Right. So, no pressure.
No pressure.
And I look forward to Dad's report over the weekend.
Oh, it'll be good. It'll be a good race.
Good. Well, the best of luck to you, Amber, and to all the Lincolnshire people from Newark AC that's going to be taking part in that. And you come back next Tuesday to tell us all about it.
Yes, I will.
Lovely. Thank you. Look at that. And that's with 50 seconds to spare before I get told off by Gareth because you're not training.
That's good.
Thanks, Amber.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Amber Owens there, live from the Newark Athletic Club's wonderful cross-country training centre, known to everybody else as the Grove Field. anyway... Rob and Keith are with us, and we're having a general chat at the moment. We're going to turn it to be a bit more sporty now because you're out of the forces. You're doing your bit in for the reserves, but you decided now that you want to put something back into the Newark Patriotic Fund because this is what you're raising funds for.
Absolutely. Well, it's a case of, as I said before, it's about community and... A lot of times people sit there and go, oh, let's go for Help for Heroes this, let's go for SAF for that. But I thought, you know what, for me, it's a bit more personal. It's about, I'm all right, I'm very lucky, I came out, I'm not one of the 5%. But just because the walls aren't on the TV, there's a lot of people having these struggles. And I saw what Adam Holland did with his 52 marathons in a year. And I thought, yeah, that's a journey, that's travelling a journey. I thought, I'd love to try and do, you know, 52 halves in a year, but I've got a family and four kids.
And 17 staff.
Yeah, 17 staff.
And Matt and Vicky every day to give cake
well,
to.
Well, yes, there's that as well. And another one on the way in May, but we won't talk about that.
What, another Matt and Vicky?
No, another child.
Oh, I'll cry.
That'll be five, so enough exercise on that one.
I think so, yeah.
So it was like, I thought, you know what, let's do 52 10Ks in a year, because... It's about the journey, because these people with the hidden wounds, they're on a journey to come back together. I'm going to travel this journey. I find, because I do a lot of computer work, for me, running is a solace, running is a de-stressor. It clears my head, and it's very cathartic. And I thought, you know what? Why not? Let's try this journey. If it doesn't work, I've done some good exercise. If it does work, it's raised the profile, and it's done some good for some people.
It started off, I think, on New Year's Day or the day after New Year's Day at some ridiculous time in the morning when you did your first run, complete with the Breakfast Show's very own Matt Colborne. So, if nothing else, you made an achievement on day one.
It was brilliant. 6 a.m. we started off outside here with Matt. Well, I say 6 a.m. I turned up ready to go at 6.
Yeah.
Dragged it out, and we finally left. I think it was 6:45, just when it was getting light. And I think it took us 89 minutes to do a 10K. For Matt, that's a PB. Great, he's got personal best. That is top notch. I'm going to twist his arm to do another one towards the end of the year. But yeah, that was the first of the six I've done so far.
I mean, as much as I would never dream of giving him a compliment, that was a fantastic achievement by him, because he's not a runner.
No, he's not.
I made him do the park run the previous Christmas Eve. He's not a runner, but to actually
He didn't do much running, I'll be honest. When there was a camera or there was public, he ran.
Oh, it would, yeah. He would comb his hair first, though.
There's a lovely photo of him stood on the sconce as the dawn's coming. It's beautiful, you know.
But absolute credit to him. And that was Radio Newark starting you off on this trip.
Yeah.
So we're now knocking on the door of February. So what else have you achieved in January? Because if you've got 52 to do, you can't hang about.
No, you can't hang about. And the running calendar is actually quite challenging, because what I want to do is I want to do events, but there's not very many in the start of the year. So there's a lovely thing called Virtual Racer, and not many people may know about it, but there's a website called virtualrunner.com. And what you do is you go on there, and there's a whole series of races. Most of these races are for charity. But what you do is you go and you maybe pay your £8, and then you go, you do your 10K run, and then you submit the result, and you get a medal. And I've got an array of medals in front of me today.
See, typical forces, it's all about medals.
It's all about the bling.
Yeah. It's all about the bling, yeah.
And so of the six I've done in January so far, I've done the New Year's Resolution run with Matt, which is great. I did the Runner's Roulette while I was down at Portsmouth with one of the running groups in Portsmouth. One of the actual events I did that was really good was the run through Chase the Moon at the Olympic Park in London. So I finished work at 3 o'clock. I then, in Portsmouth, I drove to London. I then, we did, ran the Olympic Park four times. That I got a PB on, which was 58 minutes, which was nice. And then I drove down to Cornwall for another day's work down there. So that was a nice little event. I believe I rang one of your colleagues before we set off. And if I was going to finish within the time, I was going to try and ring the show, but I didn't quite make that. that hit the three, and then did the New Year, New Unicorn Run, which was quite nice. Did that down at Portsmouth. And the next challenge after that was the Home Pierpont 6-Hour Challenge. That was on the 20th, and that was basically you turn up and you've got the option to run for 6 hours around Home Pierpont. And I set off and I thought, yeah. I got to the 10K mark and I thought, you know what? I'm all right now. So I thought, sod it, I'll go and do a half marathon. Words I never thought would come out of my mouth, you know, let's just go and do a half. And so I did the half and staggered across the line there. And then since then, I've done the Unicorn Challenge as well. So that's six so far. So at that pacing, I should be able to get the 52 done quite easily.
You're on course, aren't you?
I'm on course. I'm buying myself a little time for paternity leave during May.
You've got 17 staff to look after. You'll be all right.
Yeah, be all right.
So there's obvious ones. There's the Newton Fraction coming up, the East Midlands 10K, the city of Lincoln, Sheffield Half Marathon, Leeds, Nottingham, all the ones that you would expect to be in there.
Yeah.
But there are some wonderful ones. As I've just seen here, there's an Iceland Midnight Sun Half Marathon. Is that running around Iceland and to the balls club this afternoon then? Or?
Well, this is what I haven't quite booked it yet. I'm just trying to work out A, getting the time off work, B, getting the time off with considering I have a 4-week old by that point. What there actually is it's a half marathon in Iceland. And so we're just working on the logistics at the moment, is that whether I can take my wife and a 4-week old or not. And it's one that's in the aspirational category, but I think it'd be quite nice to do that one.
It would be a good one, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah,
I mean, even better if you're pushing a food trolley around, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, there is a couple that absolutely sort of went bing when I looked at this one, and one of them is involves the HMS Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
The aircraft carrier that we're not allowed to know where it is unless you've got Marine Tracker, and then you can see it this first time. But
well, I'm currently talking to the Navy about if they'd let me run a 10K on the deck of the carrier. These are discussions ongoing, shall we say.
You've got to ask the questions, haven't you?
Well, if you don't ask the questions, you're not going to get. And one of the coaches at New York Rugby with my daughter, he's the deputy commandant at RF Cranwell, so I'm going to see if he'll let me run up and down Cranwell. And, you know, it's all about finding somewhere innovative to do this that has a link to the services, because it's about bridging that gap and just enjoying the journey as well.
And the other one, the one that sort of went definitely hit out. Anybody that knows me knows I sort of will go on about the lizard in Cornwall all day and all night and all through the next day, if you let me. And when I saw RNSA Cole Rose, I thought, that's it. He's my new best friend. He's a superstar. Cole Rose is the largest NATO helicopter base in Europe, and it is based on the lizard where I go on my holidays every year. That would be fantastic. I'll tell you one thing, Rob. It's a long way to drive around it.
Well, it is a very long way to drive around it. I mean, I drive down to Cornwall once every 6 weeks to work with BRNC, and I'm talking to Britannia Royal Navy College, trying to run with them. I'm actually trying to queue up at the moment with the Royal Marines to do a 10K with Vicky. You know, take the Marines and Vicky out onto Dartmoor. That'd be quite a nice sight to see.
I'm not sure whether we'd ever see Vicky or the Marines again.
Well, I'm trying to work out who, you know, where the balance is there.
Yeah.
Who's at greater risk?
I feel sorry for the Marines. The Cold Rose thing, though, would be absolutely fantastic. I've told him to book it in for the first 2 weeks in August, and then we can do a live Newark radio Newark show from there.
Well, maybe you could run around with him.
I've got to hold the mic. I've got to hold the mic, Keith.
Tell you what, maybe you can go on the bike, and he can go on the bike with us. But no, getting down to Cold Rose, getting round. Any time I've spoken to any of the service personnel, they're always open door. If they can do, they will help, because they know it's about the service family. And that's not to the exclusion of other people. One of the big things here that's come through is service people are always front and centre, but the families are just as important, if not more so sometimes, because it's always a case where the commanding officer says, how are you? But sometimes it's the wives of and the kids of that's where it gets a bit grey sometimes.
And that's where we're going to go back to Keith now, because we'll come back to you, Robin. We'll talk a few more of these before the end of the show, but I want to talk about the Newark Patriotic Fund for a bit, and I want people to realise exactly what it is. It's something that we've all read in the paper, and we've all seen on social media that it's got the word Newark on the front of it, but I'm sure a lot of people don't actually know what it means. And yes, we are a sports show, and I have said before that sport is very important of a serviceman, servicemen and women, but tell us a little bit about the Newark Patriotic Fund, please.
Well, we basically set up about 10 years ago. Patrick Mercer and Sue Gray is PA at the time, came to see me because I was chairman of Newark Business Club, and told me about a Lance Corporal Nick Davis, Grenadier Guards, who had been blown up in Afghanistan, and who was in Selioak being looked after. But the unfortunate thing was, because his mum and dad couldn't really afford to keep going backwards and forwards to Selioak, we thought that wasn't right. So we quickly got hold of a few business people that we knew, and one of them in particular, John Coles, he's quite a well-known guy in the town, put some money in the pot, and we got the mum in the hotel next to Nick Davis at Selioak, basically. And the company that the dad was working for wouldn't give him time off. So Patrick Mercer, off he went to this company and said, hey, you won't give him time off. And he said, no. He said, no problems. I've got BBC Look North coming here. I've got the Sun coming here to interview you. So he basically told him to bugger off out and give the dad time off. And from that, really, we realised that this is not a one-off. There's going to be more. And it wasn't just about the veterans, because generally the veterans are being looked after. You know, they're in hospital. Half the time they don't know what's going on because they're drugged up and being operated on. It's the families that are doing all the worrying. And so we set the fund up to look after injured service personnel and their families. And I think that's a really important point for us. And it's all local. So every penny we raise stays local, and it helps local veterans. And basically it's anybody in the Newark and Sherwood district area, but also in the Newark Advertiser distribution area as well. So it's very, very local, and that's why we're very proud of Newark people, because they're very willing to contribute towards our charity, because it's local people. We're not a national charity.
And I've mentioned sport two or three times already. Now it's connected with that, and Nathan Cumberland's great friend of this show, and Nathan's one. If you listen to Nathan's story, but listening to sort of Rob's story, if you listen to how the story unfolds, there was a lot of dark days there for Nathan when he left, when he came out, obviously because of his condition. Yeah. Then he went to the gym, found sport, and yes, he still has dark days, but not many now, because he's got a goal in life. And it's about setting up your people who need this little bit of help.
Yeah.
And sport is important, Keith, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely vital, sport is. Nathan's is a fantastic advocate for what sport can do for people that are suffering. You know, and he went on to do Invictus Games, and he did extremely well out there, and we're really proud of his achievements. But it just shows what sport can do for people, you know. And you know, that's how we can help, as well as the fund. We can get older groups and sporting organisations and get them introduced as well. So we don't just sort of go on what's wrong with people's minds. We deal with all sorts of issues, and we'll try and get them in whatever we feel or they feel will help them get through whatever the dark period is.
Rob, you said you wasn't as bad as others, but there was times when you come out, you're sort of thinking, well, I wonder what happens next and how does this happen? And
absolutely.
The transition to civilian life is very difficult. And then you join the Striders.
It is. When I left, I do remember I came from the redundancy meetings, and I remember sitting in my back garden in Newark going, oh, what next? And it was scary, because you're standing on the precipice of, you don't know. And for me, it was once I was able to sort of go, right, where's my community, engage my community, and the sport for me was like, actually, you know what, I can run, you know, it might be a little bit chunky, and I'm built for endurance, not for speed, and, you know, open arms at Striders. They absolutely, you know, could not be more helpful. And the number of friends I've met at Striders, and it's like any of the running clubs. I went down to Portsmouth. I just turned up to one of the clubs. I went, oh, you knew. I went, well, actually, I'm up there. Can I come and run with you guys? Yeah, if you're down here. And it's the attitude the sports brings. It's, I mean, you take, for example, Adam Holland. He's such a nice guy. You know, he does amazing stuff, and it'd be great if you could actually go, he's arrogant, but he's not.
He's not.
He's just so nice, and that makes him just annoys even more, because you're like, he's genuinely happy if somebody gets a personal best on a 5K or a marathon, and it's that whole spreading the attitude that helped the transition. And I've had my stress within the services. I've had postnatal depression, and that's some things nobody actually admits. Blokes get postnatal depression. And people go, oh, I can't be. But you do. And that same time as I came back from Iraq. And so I've had challenges in the time as well. But it's when you can lock into something, set objectives, and challenge yourself. And it's that wraparound to know that actually I can do this and my family are safe.
And you've got friends.
Hmm?
More and more. I mean, I think we're so lucky in Newark with Fernwood.
Yes.
And Not Fast. And the Striders, because they've opened sport up to a lot of people that, in my era, when you finish playing sport at 30, that was it.
Yeah, you're on the scrap heap.
You're on the scrap heap. But it's not the case now, is it? Because of this, what you call leisure sport, but that's not the point. The point is you're not on the scrap heap. At any age now, yeah. you can join a sports. And that's what you did with Striders. And I would suggest then the fact that you got running with Striders was the catalyst along with saying, well, if Adam Holland can do it, I can do it.
Absolutely. It was the Striders thing. Couple that with my wife was doing Slimming World, and I looked at her and went, I need to get on with it, otherwise I'm going to be the one people look at and go, how did he end up with her? And so I was doing Slimming World, and it all came together as a structure, and it's that structure piece that, you know, couple that, it's like, actually, you know what, I can do this, and I can actually put something back into the package.
It's also the friendship you get from it as well, though. I moved to Newark. I did 18 years in the Grenadier Guards, left, moved to Newark because that's where my then wife was. And I didn't know anybody, effectively. Yeah, she knew loads of people because she lived in Newark. But then I joined the British Sugar Cricket Club and started playing cricket. And all of a sudden you're getting people you know, and you start getting friends. And it's a good way of then getting to meet people. So it's not just the physical activities. It's the friendship that you get from it as well.
Camaraderie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that takes us back to where we began in the forces, really, didn't it?
Yeah.
I want to... just go through some more of these runs with you. I want to just talk about the turquoise teapot and sport.
Yes.
As well. Before we talk about what I want to talk about, the turquoise teapot and what they do with sport a few more of these runs. Very, very important announcement to make from the Newark Patriotic Centre. I'll give you Keith Curlin.
Yeah, what it is, we get all our money through local people, basically, and doing events to raise the money. We don't get any money from the government or the council. We have a patriotic ball on the 20th of October, and it'll be at the Cedric Ford Pavilion, and we'll have a casino there. Live music. It's Matt Shepton is the live music. Local singing hero, absolutely fantastic. And the good meal, good drinks to start with when you come in. So if you want to come, it's only £40 as well. But every penny we make and every penny we make stays local. It does not go national in any way, shape, or form. And we'd really appreciate it if you'd like to come along and have a good night.
And it is. It really is for a absolutely wonderful cause, because I do know from first hand that the job that Newark Patriotics and other groups do or try and do for the servicemen and women that are coming out of the our services. I get told off if I give it too blatant a plug. So that coffee shop down Bovish Road.
Yes.
You've either consciously or unconsciously decided to connect yourself with the sports clubs that operate nearby.
A completely conscious effort, because when we were looking at venues, people turn around, oh, there's nothing around here. So there's a great big sports area over there. Actually, I'm in sports, we like the running, it's the ethos. This will be one of the key places where, when it's cold and wet, people can come and sit and have a coffee. And the best way to do that is just to support the community. And so we thought, you know what, let's get involved with the community, let's see what we can do to help. And, you know, I've been very, very lucky, because I consult with the Royal Navy and e-learning. They pay me money, I can actually then siphon it back into the system. And it's what goes around comes around.
Have you seen much of the Jaguars wheelchair basketball in action?
Unfortunately, I haven't.
You really should have a walk over one Saturday lunchtime and have a look at one of the most brutal sports there is out there.
Yeah. Like wheelchair rugby.
They actually take no prisoners.
Yeah.
They really don't. And I'm full of admiration for, again, these youngsters who are not as lucky as others. But they've got themselves a sport and they give it 100%, and the skill level is fantastic. And to find out that you're supporting them, then I really do admire you for that one. And thank you, Jaguars, because they're one of the great wheelchair basketball teams in this country.
Well, it's really simple. My wife turns around and says, this is what we're doing. I say, yes, dear. It's the secret to a happy life.
And, of course, the hockey club come and see you on a regular basis.
Absolutely. I think somebody's in trouble after this radio show.
I think so.
You mentioned the rugby club.
Yes. Last year we sponsored the tour shirts for the minis when they went on tour, and this year we're doing the same again. And it's about making sure we put something back into that. And when we go on tour, as I go with the lads as well. I mean, this year my eldest lad, who's ADHD, who's 11, my autistic 9-year-old and my 7-year-old are all going on tour. And it's the inclusive nature. What's really impressed me with Newark Rugby, you know, they manage an autistic lass in the game. There's no special needs, and it brings them together. And so, yeah, we put what we can in to make things work.
We have, counsellor, we have some fantastic clubs. Yeah. In Newark. Rob's just mentioned the rugby club. I went to watch the rugby club in a Colts in a semi-final last year, or final, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And is this the best 15 you've got at? Well, no, because we rotate. And
exactly, non-exclusive.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's fantastic.
They really are a good community rugby club.
They most certainly are, and I do hope, councillor, the YMCA is going to happen. We've got to give our clubs, like the athletic club, talking Danbury tonight, we've got to give them facilities, because these boys and girls, men and women, are the pride of Newark.
It is happening. It's all going to go ahead. It's something that Newark will be proud of. We've got that fantastic gym now, the Sports Fitness Centre. And believe it or not, you might not know looking at me, but I am a member of that. I think I've been once or twice in the 8 or 9 months I've been a member. But yeah, it's going to be there. And one of the reasons that I'm really excited about what the YMCA are doing is they're doing outreach. You know, and they're looking after the kids, you know, creches so that the parents can take part and all that sort of thing. So it's not just about the sport; it's about the whole wraparound package that goes with it as well. And there's even talks about having rowing on the lake at Balderton and a link across to it. You know, so there's lots of good positives that are coming into Newark, and it's a really exciting time for us in terms of the sport.
Mostly, I mean, the rugby club, they're just second to none. It's as simple
Absolutely.
As that. The hockey club are wonderful people, our football, our cricket club. But the Jaguars and the Disability Swimming Club and the 4As, Julie's 4As, we are so proud of them in Newark. And we're so proud, as we said, of the Striders and Not Fast as well, which brings us back to your running. what's next up?
Well, the next up, I've got... as I said at the beginning, it's a case there's not many actual events in the start of the year. So I've got three virtual runs which I'm doing. The next one is Run for Pizza. So I'm going to be going...
Oh, you'll get Matt on that one.
Well, exactly.
I think I might volunteer.
And so it's a case of... I need when we get into February, I'll be jacking up a 10K, probably down at Portsmouth. Maybe might do that one at RF Halton. And another link there. Then I've got the Love to Run Challenge, Chinese New Year, but the one that's really I'm looking got my eyes set on is the Cotterton Water Half Marathon. You know, depending how I feel the day, I might go, do we go 10K, do we go half? It's going to be a selection. I'm pushing for as many halves as I can.
I take it you're going round the water and not over it.
Oh, wow.
Sleaford Half. The York 10K is a very popular one.
Yeah, the York 10K is a very good one. The one that I'm looking forward to, the one that I found the most challenging last year was the Sheffield Half Marathon, because that's 6 miles uphill, 1 mile flat, 6 miles downhill. No, it's
anybody that's been to Sheffield will know there isn't a flat part to it.
No, there isn't. Yeah, I'm not quite sure why I signed up for that one, but hey, it's a good way to go.
Last two, because time's nearly beat us. Race the Train and the Gruesome Twosome.
Well, the Gruesome Twosome is the one I'm doing with my lovely lady wife. Basically, it's a 10K, but you have to do it as a pair. So you're not, it's not a three-legged race, but you are...
So in your case, it's a lovely twosome. You're in enough trouble already.
Yeah, fair point. It's the lovely twosome. So I'm doing that one with my lovely lady wife. And then finally, Race the Train is one that I'm looking forward to on the 18th of August at Tallathwin in Mid Wales. You get on the train.
You've been worried about that all the way through, haven't you?
You get on a train, I've got six people with me. You go up, you get off the train, then you actually have to chase the train back to the station and try and beat it there. And if you beat it, great. If not, you still get a medal at the end.
That sounds brilliant. Rob, we're going to keep up with what you're up to. We're going to keep dragging you back in the studio and talk to you on the phone and just follow you through the whole year of... I'm sure you actually will do these 52, and you'll probably do an awful lot more than 52 when it boils down to it. But it's absolutely fantastic, and we thank you so much for coming in and explaining everything to us and just having a general chat about you.
It's an absolute pleasure.
That's what. And Keith, the Newark Patriotic Fund, I mean, it is... one of the jewels in the Newark crown. Please keep it going. And please, people of Newark, you've got to support it. You've got to help it, because it's these guys like Nathan, like Rob, and Keith's going to name countless others that it is helped at some stage, and Rob's putting something back into it. And we thank you very much. But Keith, thank you for popping in tonight. And
you're very welcome.
And
thank you for having me.
Your time. Don't forget, all our shows are... podcast. Yeah, we take about a week normally to put them on. All last week's are already on there, so if you want to listen to it all again, if you're Rob's wife and you're taking notes of what he said, that's great. You've got the evidence. Do so. They're all podcasts. Go onto our website. It's nice and simple, radionewark.co.uk. Onto the website, look for podcasts, and then follow it through. Tomorrow night, Willie Allcup's 50 years old this season. Dennis Rawls coming in to talk about that. Martin Pickers here to tell us about the Warriors in the semi-final. I've just about run out of time. Coming up next and standing behind me, the great Mr. Stuart Preston.